Folks, to say that we're living in troubled times is certainly a statement that lacks a whole lot of in-depth understanding. This world is in a mess, and the world is in a mess because the occupants of the world have decided to leave God out of their life. The creator of the earth is the creator of man. And God, as our creator, set about in a book called the Bible guidelines of how we, the greatest of all his creation, how we have been so blessed to have a father that loves us to the point that God says, okay, here's what I want you to do. Going back to each individual ministry of each individual Christian, it is the power of God to move within the heart of a nation that will protect that nation. But when we leave God's word out, when we distort the truth, we are commanded by God, do not call that which is evil good, and do not call that which is good evil. Yet in our generation, we see that Christianity is the, as the secular world would say, the religion that is being trampled on. Now, the world cannot trample on my relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what Christianity is. But you and I are witnessing right now something so horrible that we never dreamed we would ever even hear about, much less see in action. Why? Well, opinion on it. That great opinion is this. The church has become either so into itself, satisfying our personal wants and needs and all this other, that we will have refused to take the message to the world. Well, does that mean then those out there that are stirring all of this up, the evil that is so prevalent, does that mean that they are without excuse? Because, or they cannot be charged with that because we didn't go tell them. God says no. God says you will not say when you stand before me, I did not know. And then he goes on and says, because I will have made myself visible to you from my own power. I'm the one that convicts you, says God. So you cannot say that you did not know the difference. God says, I'm the one who tells you the difference. What it means to follow Jesus. Well, it certainly doesn't mean what we're seeing in our country. But I got a greater hurt that I see within our Christian denominations. Now, you will hear everyone standing up, all the preachers from SBC and all of the groups standing up and saying, preachers, you stand your ground. Do not allow this to take place within the church. Well, as long as I'm pastor of this church, it's not going to happen. But will that go against us? Yes, it will eventually. But you see, that's still not my word. The world is the world. You and I are just passing through this. We're not home yet. Amen. So therefore, we know that we will get to be with our Heavenly Father. What's the problem, Vance? The problem is this. Multitudes upon multitudes of Christians are being slaughtered throughout the world. And we've got caught up on the same-sex marriage. Make the statement. We say from the Christian standpoint, it is sin. But folks, think of this. If an individual is not a Christian, they got a lot more to worry about than their sex lives or anything else. God's word focuses on Christians, focuses on the godly, his people. How would the world know about God's word if his people don't go out and tell them? But you don't expect them to live according to our guidelines of Christianity that God has given us if they don't know God. If they don't know the Lord, they look at us and they say, you're nuts. Well, most of us probably are. We had to live life and had kids. Some people's hair turned gray, others turned loose. That's dealing with reality of life. But what it means for me to follow Jesus is this. God is still in control. God is still in control. When the earth ceases to spin, it'll be God that'll stop it. It will be God that has entered our heart through his Spirit that tells us, listen, I love you. But you need to show the world how much I love you. So tell them about me when they ask you. Now, they're not going to ask you, Larry, if you're living like them. They will only ask you if they see a difference in your lifestyle than the lifestyle of the world. And then you give your testimony. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God works to the good. The great prophet Elijah was called by God, and his main confrontation was to be, I want you to go against the false gods of Asherah, and I want you to go against Jezebel's priest. 450 and another 400 of Asher. And so Elijah did that. And they said, cannot stand Elijah. So right in the midst of all the horror that was going on, not only did Elijah stand because it was God's calling for him to stand, as soon as he stood against them and as soon as God showed those at that time that he was still in control, all the prophets of Jezebel were killed. But the story of Elijah goes real deep. Let me tell you about the next thing that happened. Do you know that Elijah got afraid? I mean, he had just conquered through God's power all of these false prophets, and he was afraid of one woman, Jezebel. So he took off, but he did not take off to hide until he had told the king, by the power of the God that I serve, it will not rain on this land for 3.5 years. So God, to show Elijah he was in control, Elijah to the brook Kedron. I want you to go down there, and I promise you, I will send the ravens to feed you, and you'll be by the brook, and you drink. Now, Elijah thought it was all over, but it wasn't. Because, you see, God's the one that says when it's over. Not the world. Not the Jezebel. Not the false prophet. God will say it. And I know this will bother some of you vegetarian folks, vegan folks. But the scripture says that the raven brought Elijah bread and meat while he was by the brook, bread and meat. What happened? What made Elijah move on? The brook dried up. Why did it dry up? Because Elijah just told them, God's going to bring a drought. And it was proof of what God had done. Elijah, you got to get up and go. But the power that I want you to listen to and knowing that God is truly in control is this. God told him where to go and that there would be a widow with a child. I want you to go there. And I want you to meet her. Because I have put in her heart that you're coming. And he goes to the widow. And he says, would you go to your house and bake a little piece of bread for me and bring me water to drink? And what she said was, but my Lord, she knew he was a prophet. I don't have enough meal. I don't have enough oil. And Elijah said, make me the first, and then make enough for your son, because she just told him, I was going to make the last of what I had, and I was going to set, and my son and I were going to die. He said, bring it to me first, and I promise you, as long as there is a drought, your oil will by no means diminish, and the meal will by no means diminish. You'll have all you need. It focuses on taking to God the problems. It focuses on God is still in control. Now, you and I might not even think about a bird coming in and bringing us some meat and bread every day. I always wonder where they got the bread. You know, whose table did they pick it up from, and did they fix it themselves? It was a gift from God, folks. Now listen to God's word for us. One of these days, you and I are going to depart this body. But also one of these days, soon afterwards, we will once again watch these bodies rise. We will be there. And we will have the resurrected body from Almighty God. There is no law of the land that can change that. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 3. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. And he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. Bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Ezekiel, here's the prophecy I want you to give. Dry bones will hear the word of the Lord. I will make breath enter them, and you will come to life. Sadly, the Christian church, universal, on earth, our bones are dry. We are afraid that if we say something, we're going to offend someone. Yet we're never afraid of offending God. But I don't want to say this. I just don't want any trouble. You have the trouble. It's coming. And it's already here. And that trouble is killing our children. That trouble is destroying the family and destroying the church. We can stand back and say it's not right all day long. But until you and I get on our knees and ask an ever-loving God to give us direction and where we should walk with his word and when we should stand and when we should shut up. But when our bones get dry, they don't work right. Even our joints, as we go older, we go get the shot so they won't squeak. But the dry bones of our spirit should never go dry. For you and I are the workmanship of the one and only God. Doesn't matter what court of law of earth. declares there is no God, declares you cannot speak of him. If you are of God, if you know Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then speak you must. For we are called by God, not by a particular nation and not by the leaders of those nations. Our calling is much higher than a Supreme Court. For a Supreme Court is not supreme in heaven or with the voice of God. Man has no authority over God. And God looks to the heart of each of us. And as he looks into our heart, he will see the hurt and brokenness. Lord, I don't know what to do. Why didn't you come to me sooner? Before you got in this mess, I would have led you in what to do. I know, Lord, but right now it's too late. You know, I missed it, so no need in talking to me now about what I should do. I'm too old. My bones are squeaking. And, you know, I'm just in a mess. Lord, Larry, do you remember reading my book and reading about dry bones? Maybe you need to preach on them to remind yourself. God said, I've called you for a purpose. Look, retirement is coming. But retirement's out of this body, not in it. Retirement is coming, folks. But the only retirement that you and I will ever see as Christians is the retirement from the earth and the evil that possesses the earth. We're out of here, and we're coming back. We're coming back with the reigning king. That's what I know about what it means to follow Jesus. He is God. He is truth. Why do you think that the world is slaughtering Christians, men, women, and children? If they didn't think there was power in Christ, in the name of Christ, why would they slaughter them? But knowing the power that the name of Jesus wields in the heart of man and in a nation, they must attack the power. I will not stand in defense of the power. Because God is all powerful. I cannot stop this, but through the power of God and his love, you and I will make it through it. Well, we got to get the right man or woman. No, my friends, you got to get the right God. You have to get the right spirit. Is it your spirit that agrees with the spirit of those who make the law? But you and I, folks, we're not of this world. We're in it. But the world should not control us. As a pastor, I have no choice but to stand and take the hit. Because that's my calling. How can I deny Christ? Has Jesus ever done anything bad to you since you've followed him? Is there a time that he hasn't come to your rescue in your life? Oh, we have a lot of wants that we don't have, but I guarantee you, you'll have all the needs. He says, I love you. You're my children. But the world is fatherless. The world that says there is no God is attacking those who say there is. Must be some power in the blood. Reckon? For them to spend all they can spend on denying that God exists and God giving us all we'll need as we stand proclaiming his truth. Really, do you really want to be on the world's team when the Lord comes? That team is already lost. You're already a winner through Christ. All these troubles and trials here right now, they're nothing compared to what you got waiting for you. And let me tell you this, Christian, not only do you have it waiting for you, you don't have to wait to continually receive the blessings from God every day, every second of your life. To be able to stand up and say, though you threaten to take my life for proclaiming Christ is Lord, you have no authority to do that unless he tells you you can, and God have mercy on you. Touch not my anointed. God tells us something else. He reminds us, my friends, that life is not in our knowledge. Even being able to have food on the table, that's not in our knowledge. You know, well, I'm very smart, so therefore everybody else wait on me. They will if you pay them enough to wait on you. But think of this. God said, I will send the raven, and I'll send him to give you meat and bread. If I got to use the birds, I'll use them. Did you ever stop and think about the scripture in the New Testament of there's not a sparrow that falls that God doesn't know it? And if God's going to attend the funeral of every bird that's fallen in the sky, don't you think we're pretty important to him? But the Lord looks at our heart and he says, church, are you going to follow me or not? Are you going to stand for my truth or not? Gosh, I just read a whole bunch of stats again on how many churches are closing. The sad thing is, and listen to me well on this, it didn't mean that these folks, younger folks, weren't going to worship. They were worshiping. Many in 2,000, 3,000, 7,000 congregations, each congregation being 2,000, 7,000 and all of this. You know the ones that were making it? They're called the evangelicals. We used to call ourselves that. And you know what happened? They got away from tradition of the church and wanted to focus on who Christ really is, not who the building has ever housed. Well, does that mean we're wrong? No. What it means is this. Our young folk are looking, but they're looking for something that's real. They're looking for real Christianity. Why are they looking? Well, do they only see it at church on Sunday mornings? And then to go home during the week and there's nothing but hell in the house all week long, then come back. They're looking for something that has been proven to be real. The reality of Christ. If he's real in my heart, he's real in my home. If his love is real, and I truly believe his love being real in my heart, will I not share it? If I knew the cure for cancer, would I hold it back and not share it and save all the children that are dying? And yet eternal life you and I know about, and yet we hold it back because we don't want to offend? I really don't like offending people. I really don't. But if the Word of God is offensive, that means the Word of God you need to hear. For if it offends you, it must touch you in your heart. Something's wrong. Well, yeah, but I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Lord, I'm not out here in wallowing with all of these homosexuals and all the other stuff. No, Lord, I'm wallowing with a bunch of my drunk Baptist friends. So I pick my sin. Lord, you're with us. Because we have backed away from the truth. God says, I'll turn you over to the lie. You pray that that doesn't happen. When God turns us over to that which is not true, what hope do we have? You and I need to be paying attention to what God's Word means to us. in our own individual. If you don't focus on Christ in your individual life, then what makes you think anybody is going to listen to you that doesn't know Christ? If we're doing the exact same thing we say we are against, and we're doing it publicly, have we truly lost America? It began in the 60s. Are we losing the greatest nation ever known? Folks, there's something more dangerous than that. Are we losing the courage to stand up and say, fine, I am a Christian. Lock me up because I will not support what you say I must support. You and I have got to take a stand. If our young folks in college, our young folks in high school and growing up, if our young folk do not get the message will not be spoken. Yes, we are the greatest nation that's ever been known, the most powerful. There's not a nation in the world that could all get together, could fight against the armies of the United States of America and win, if God is our standard. Jesus Christ is our rock. And the Holy Spirit of God, Father and the Son, He said, I give to you. You're looking at the temple. In your own life, you are the temple. But what good is the temple of God when it is silent? I will not get caught chasing a rabbit with the Supremes. I will not do that, because every day I'm listening to the slaughter of men, women, and children because they're Christians. The groups down in Lebanon right now. And the king is doing more to protect them than the free nations of the world are supposedly free. Something's wrong. But we sit back and we say, well, we've got it made. All we need to do is go buy another gadget. All we need to do is just sit back and enjoy. God says, yes, that's what I want you to do, but you enjoy it through my love and my power. Don't leave me out of the enjoyment. Let's pray, folks. Father, pray, dear Lord God, as you touch our life, that through your touch we will find that peace. Father, help us, because we're so messed up in our own nation. Father, send to us Christians from abroad to once again bring revival through your Holy Spirit. Father, you see the hurt and the pain, and I can only say I'm sorry, Lord, for not knowing what to do to help them. Give each of us strength and the courage to stand strong in your truth, and that your will might be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Father, for each family that's represented here. For all those who are listening, help us, Father, that we might help others, and forgive us, dear Lord God, of such vile sins. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.